Welcome back to another episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Villain. And today, we're diving into a topic that resonates with so many, yet remains shrouded in stigma, the dynamic between single mothers and absentee fathers, as we unpack the multifaceted issue. We'll explore the unique challenges and triumphs faced by single mothers, especially through the lens of those whose children live with their fathers. Joining us today is Kay Nicola, a single mother navigating her own distinct path in this landscape. So, we did an episode on this, guys. The first one was called Single Fathers with Absentee Mothers, and our special guest was Jim. And today we're doing the part two to this. So, if you listen to the very first one, you'll kind of get an idea of the struggles of the single fathers with the absentee mothers. And when you listen to this one with Kay Nicola, you'll realize that mothers have it just as bad, if not worse. So sit back, relax. We're going to take you to Let Me Take You Higher, and we're going to figure this out.
Ooh, I'm a single mother, strong and proud. My love for my boys will always be loud. Through the years and through the tears, I faced it all and conquered all my fears. My boys know I love them so, but now they're grown and on their own. But I still feel like our house is our home. They make me proud every single day. And I know all they'll always be okay. And I know they'll always be okay. And I know they'll always be okay. I'm a single mother, strong and proud. My love for my boys will always be loud. Through the years and through the tears, I faced it all and conquered all my fears. I may be older now, but my strength remains. Ooh. I'm grateful for the love that still sustains. My boys may be grown, but they'll always be the most important of most important thing in this world to me.
Welcome back to the Let Me Take You Higher podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Villain, and today we're tackling a complex and often misunderstood topic, the dynamic between single mothers and absentee fathers. Joining us is Kay Nicola, a single mother navigating a unique situation. Her child lives with their father. Welcome, Kay. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay, great. So what we're talking about here today, Kay, is that you are a single mother looking to seek custody of their child, or at least more custody of their child, because you want to be a mother that's there for their child, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let me get into this. Let's take a deep dive right in. Your experience as a single mother is quite different, given your child lives with their father. How has that shaped your journey?
Well, obviously, there was a time where, like, he was with me most of the time, and,
you know,
like, he was just with me, and he went to work with me at the daycare that I was at, and I was doing everything, like, all on my own, no support.
Right.
And things happened, stuff happened, and because he was born in the state of Texas, which is where his dad is from, where his family and supports.
Okay.
You know, the judge wanted him to be, you know, raised where he's from. So the judge ordered him to be sent back, and I didn't follow that order. And so when someone called CPS on me for something like petty, they saw that the court paperwork, and they took him and handed him to his dad. And his dad's been petty since and pretty much hasn't been letting me see him. Guys can be petty too. It's not just baby mamas not being petty, not letting them their dad see the kid, you know.
Now let's explore the topic a little bit here. Now, when you had your child, how old were you?
So I had him when I was 21. I found out I was pregnant right when I turned 21.
Okay, now the father, how old's the father?
Right now,
I mean,
if he was born in 83.
Okay. So he's in his 40s.
Like 41.
Okay.
41, 42. Okay. Yeah.
So with that being said, there was an age difference of a few years. Do you think that you were taken advantage of in any way where the father knew what he was doing when the situation came across?
I do, in a sense.
Okay.
Like, I'm not saying he, like, never, like, cared about me at all, but, like, just given that I grew up with, like, some of his family members, not him in particular, just, like, his niece.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know, like, I was 20 when I met him.
Okay.
And he was 35.
Okay.
And his daughter's actually 20 now.
Oh, wow.
So it's just, like, I know he wouldn't want someone that age doing that to his daughter. She's not going to admit it, but, like,
well, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
yeah. So
well, that's a balancing act. Well, it sounds tough.
I feel like I was vulnerable. I had nobody,
right?
And, you know, he took me in, and there was already red flags.
Okay, like what?
But, like, oh my gosh, it's just, first of all,
right,
like, his family is just toxic altogether. Like, okay, his niece just trying to fight me when I first moved down there. Not even 2 weeks, 3 weeks of moving. No, like, the first week I moved down there.
Right.
I moved down there to be with his niece because she's my childhood best friend.
Oh, gosh.
I told her mom, she was like a mom to me growing up. I was 20 at the time. Like, hey, because her ex wasn't supposed to be at the house.
Right.
And then he was, like, beating her ass, like, in the room next door. From what she told me, they were playing around, but, like, it sounded like they were, like, been fighting or
so there was so there was abuse the there was abuse okay
yeah, I wasn't like in the room, didn't see it, but I was like hearing stuff, like being like thrown around, so like I was like shaking. And like I like went and told a neighbor, this guy, and he didn't really do much because I was like in a ghetto area. So I called her mom because I didn't know what else to do.
Right.
And I'm going to call the cops because we don't like cops.
And no popo.
So I just called her mom because it was like in her, it was in her town home.
Right.
And her mom, when I was on the bus on the way there, her mom was already like turned back around.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't even her place. She lied to you. She told me it was her place.
Oh, wow.
You know, so like already off the bat, there was like a lot of red flags.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of red flags.
Yeah, there's just so many. And then, like, and there's really just so, so much to this. It's just, because it's going on years of things, you know?
Yeah, because your son is now, what, is he almost three?
Four and a half.
Okay.
Yes. My goodness. And I have dealt with his, not, because I'm not really dealing with his family no more, but, like, it's more of just, like, are they going to brainwash my kid? Because, you know, they did a lot of bad stuff to me. And like, I'm not saying I'm perfect.
Right.
You know, because I own my shit.
Yeah.
But it's just like.
But I mean, but when you boil this all down.
Painting me to be the bad guy, not taking accountability for the things they've done type of thing.
Right.
It's just making me look. Because it's his family in Texas and then it's me against them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I don't have support. He has all the support. So
mm-hmm.
What am I going to look like? If he says I'm this crackhead prostitute, whatever.
And for the record, this isn't true. These aren't true statements. Okay.
It's not. It is literally not.
Okay.
Like, I was literally walking to and from work, like on the bus, staying with the friend or staying in hotels or in the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like walking and his brother or whatever family would be like, I saw her get into some car or blah, blah, blah. Like, they would just be making up so much stuff. And I was just like, no, this is real. Yeah, like,
that's just
donating blood, like all this stuff.
So, I mean, and the reason why we do this kind of show is because you always hear single mothers struggling with their children. But what about the single mothers who desperately want to be in their child's life but can't because the father is keeping them away from that? You know what I mean? And you always hear about it the other way around.
Yeah, because you always hear about the mom keeping the kid from the dad. And he's like, she's wanting this money but doesn't let me see my kid.
Yeah.
Or the mom's like, I'm begging the dad to be in my kid's life and he doesn't want to. But when it's the mom that doesn't have their kids, they're automatically painted like as this bad person. Like, oh, you don't have your kid. You must have done something wrong. Because everyone is normalized and so used to the kids just being with the mom.
That's true.
So when the kids aren't with the mom, they automatically like paint them as a bad mom.
Yeah,
when
they
that's not even the case. I just passed my drug test today for the job that I'm about to get. So,
well, congratulations to that. We love a good story, right? So,
yes. Yeah. She told me straight up, like, we do, if we suspect anything or get any calls, we'll do any random drug test. I'm like, well, I'm good over here.
Yeah, you're fine.
I'm actually sober off of nicotine. Are
you
proud
of me? Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's explore the pros and the cons of single motherhood. On the plus side, many single mothers develop incredible resilience and independence. They often become strong role models for their children. Do you believe that your child looks up to you as a strong role model?
His dad has only let me video chat him like 4 times this past year. And I remember about a year ago when I was trying to video chat him, or maybe it was over a year ago, like, I really genuinely feel like he wants him to forget me, my son's dad, because I remember he was, when I was seeing him or talking to him, he started crying, and then his dad's like, oh, he's tired. And I'm like, no, he misses me.
Right.
Like, he literally misses me. And, like, because of stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
I think he knows that he's a mama's boy. He might say, oh, he's a daddy.
Well, all sons are mama's boy, yeah.
That's why I stay so humble.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I stay so humble, because, like, I have my days, my down days.
Right.
And, like, I'm still respectful to my son's dad, even though, like, it's pretty clear that he's being the petty parent.
Well, of course.
Like, I know he's a mama's boy, and I know the bond we have is unbreakable.
Yeah.
When I have my son with me, I sent his dad pictures weekly. I let him video chat him whenever I can.
Right.
I have talked to my son 4 times this past year, and he has the audacity to tell me I can't co-parent. It's just, I know now, because, like, you know, when you're dealing with the narcissist, they get in your head.
Yeah.
Like, I would think sometimes I'm the problem. And now I know. Now I know I'm not. I'm
right. No.
Because I've tried. I even moved across the country again.
Yeah.
Gave up my car, my apartment. I didn't lose it.
Right.
I have all the documents. I sold my car to my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the housing community, and I can still get on housing. I gave them court paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't break my lease or anything, given the situation that I was in.
Right.
So I could go back to Texas, and they're like, well, then maybe you can go get housing in Texas.
Yeah. So with that being said, to let our audience know the background story, what happened? We know relationships end for whatever reasons, but what happened with this particular situation that made it so toxic right now?
It's honestly one little situation that just a bunch of little situations that ended up to a big situation. Given the one that I just told you, like the very first situation of it all.
Okay.
The root of the problem is what I told you, like with his niece. Because obviously if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't even had moved to Texas. And she's just not even a good person in general. And like, okay. I don't even want to give her that type of clout. Because she's even trashed his name on Facebook and me, like she would slander and got, like she's just drama. Her family knows her for that.
Yeah,
I guess she's been selling out nowadays, but as long as she's not trashing my name, like I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean,
she's older than me, like you're almost 30, like we're growing up.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but, we're getting older.
But my son's dad, he's always liked me, you know, like. And, like, I never really, like, the thing was, when I had his older brother, pretty much, like, when his niece kicked me out, like, I ran to his brother's house, which was in the same housing communities.
Okay.
And it was, like, the La Armada or something like that, or the LA, I don't even know what it was, his community in Corpus Christi.
Okay.
So I walked all the way to his brother's apartment, which was actually his apartment. His brother's just staying in it.
Okay.
And he's like, you can stay here, stay with me. And his mom and his family was there, and like a few other family members.
Mm-hmm.
And like his niece came, and she was literally trying to beat my ass.
Really?
That was like the second time she's trying to beat my ass, because the cops already escorted, and after they left, she still came trying to fight me. Yes.
Oh,
and this was not even a week moving down there.
Yeah.
And I was living in Corpus from 2018 to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So
it just seems like, I mean, I know, and we never want to, it's never anyone's particular issue. It's always a conjunction of issues.
The reason I stayed was like, I moved down here not even a week and a half ago. I didn't want to tell my mom, like, mm-hmm. what happened.
Yeah.
So, like, I already kept that from her. I was like, I came down here for better. I came down here for a better life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because I didn't have like bad friends or family back home. I just feel like I needed to find myself. And
yeah.
You know how sometimes you need to just go find your own way?
Oh, of course.
So for me, it was like a spiritual thing. Like, you know, I'm going to just do this because I had an opportunity and I took it.
Yeah.
Because I had nowhere else to really go. Like, me and my friend lost our apartment at the time. So,
yeah.
And I didn't want to like mooch off my mom or anything.
So do you think that you're ex-boyfriend took advantage of that situation, knowing that you were trying to rebuild your life, and then took advantage with the custody of the child?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because when I was pregnant, his family was kissing my ass. They're all being so nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the moment I gave birth, it's like I was this psychopath, or like I was a mentally unstable mom, and they were always trying to take my kid, or he would purposely start these fights, and he would call his mom, she's acting crazy, and so she would come take my kid. And I'm pretty sure it was like his brother. I have this gut feeling his brother was the one who called CPS on me to begin with. And when that first happened, he tested negative,
mm-hmm.
or tested positive. I tested negative, and he tested positive for marijuana, which okay. isn't really like a big deal to me,
right?
But like for me, I was the one who was pregnant and like mm-hmm. breastfeeding, so you know.
Yeah, you couldn't do that, right?
So they stayed involved the case. They would have literally like left and let us be alone. And it's just like, bro. So I also don't know if it was the neighbor But I feel like it was either his neighbor or like his brother. But his only because his brother was trying to get me to smoke when I was pregnant, that I feel like he was always trying to set me up.
Oh yeah, I'm like, sure he was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his brother, the thing was, that's what I was trying to get to. I was felt like his brother had like a grudge against me or somewhat, because like when I had lived with him after his knees,
mm-hmm.
I went to stay with him temporarily for like a month in Mathis. And it just didn't work out because he kept trying to like have sex with me. And keep in mind, I grew up around this guy.
Yeah.
I grew up around this guy and his daughter went to high school or school with. And like, I was like, no, I don't want to. And it was like literally Christmas Eve and he like kicked me out because I didn't do anything. I didn't clean, I didn't do nothing. And like, it's not that he wasn't wrong. Like, I really wasn't doing much. I know I was like depressed, but like, I just feel like all he wanted was that. And right. Like, he was coming at me like the wrong way, like the wrong approach.
Now, did you ever tell your ex-boyfriend that his own brother was trying to copulate or have sex with you? And I mean, that's kind of odd. Yeah.
Yeah. And his mom would say stuff like, you don't respect yourself. I feel like it was all like my fault all the time, like everything I did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I know now what I'm wearing shouldn't, it's never like a female's fault. Like, if they're wearing some type of thing, because like if I would be wearing like a crop top and shorts, like,
mm-hmm.
His mom. Like,
oh, you mean how you're dressed? Right. Okay.
Yeah. And it's like their granddaughters literally dressed the same way. So it's just like, I know they were just picking on me just to pick on me. Like,
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. And that takes an emotional toll. And sometimes that can lead to feelings of isolation and financial strain.
Well,
yeah.
I thought I was going to feel safe with him because I was vulnerable. Like, I saw him as an uncle point, like, perspective. Cause,
okay.
You know, because I knew him since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just felt really like, I've never felt like, I don't know, I felt like this emotion I can't describe. It's like, well, you're not who I thought you were.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like he
took advantage
against me since, yeah, well, like I had his dad pick me up like the day after Christmas.
Okay.
And that's when I moved of 2018. And that's when I moved like with his dad.
Right.
And like, I have my own room and everything. And, you know, to me, it's like, oh, finally, something's good happened. But from the beginning, this is like the big narcissistic trait with my son's dad. From like the beginning, he was like so nice compared
right.
to everybody I felt like in his family. So, so nice. And he made me feel the things that like I like. Wanted to feel like he knew what he was doing though, like, but in my like 20-year-old mind, you know,
right,
I feel like now I would know. I'm not dumb, but
yeah, because you I mean, maturity is everything,
all the right things,
right?
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then like, you know, just it became sexual, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then that next year of like June, because I moved there October 2018, and then next year, I remember in the spring, or like late winter, spring, I went back to South Dakota, and we had this big fun, because that's when it started to get toxic. I saw like obsessive signs,
because
mm-hmm. you know, I was going on dates with other guys.
Well, yeah.
And like his daughter would be home, and he'd be like, I'd come home, and he'd be like waiting on the couch for me, and I'm like, shouldn't you be like paying attention to your daughter? Because we weren't together at the time. And, like, I was just like his quote unquote roommate. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I was confused. You know what I mean? Because obviously in that moment, it's like, I was like, I'm not going to end up with this guy, you know, just like older and just roommates. You know, I don't know. Like, I was kind of like in survival mode too. Like,
right.
So, and I was just trying to make the best of the situation.
Yeah.
And,
that's understandable.
You don't tell people back home like what's 100% going on, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
So when I went back home, I saw some friends, saw some family,
mm-hmm.
worked at a job for a little bit, saw my dad.
Yep.
And then I came back like late April, and then his dad was like, "Hey, my mom doesn't know you're here yet," or blah blah blah, and. Then she found out like that same week, and I don't think they were like too happy that I was back.
Right.
because of just all the trauma, and they're like, what the heck, why is she back? But like, I think they got the vibe that, or got a vibe like, oh, like, are they going to be a relationship or what? Like, because no one was really being upfront with me or telling me or trying to warn me about his dad.
Yeah.
Because for him, from what he told me, he's like, hey, you can stay here. I want to give you a second chance to build like a better life. Yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, like, before I had my son, before I got pregnant, we would smoke weed and drink a lot.
Right.
So, like, when he says things how, like, I drink a lot or I'm not sober, it's like, we literally was getting lit together.
Yeah, he kind of brought that on you. You were only 20 at the time.
I wasn't even fully legal, and I have proof of my Snapchat memories.
Yeah.
Snapchat memories. And I told him that, and with his family, like, it was like, I have proof of y'all giving me alcohol when I was underage, but I have yet to prove my evidence in court yet, so.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a toxic grooming situation.
It really was. Mm-hmm. And I know in a lot of cases in general, it's like normal in Texas for Hispanics if their kids are like 18, 19, 20, for them to have a few drinks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's done in a different way. It's not like, it's a rite of passage, but it's not to get you all liquored up for sex or to groom you for a role.
You're right. Because mm-hmm. when I had found out I was pregnant, because I just turned 21 in May 20th,
mm-hmm.
and I conceived like mid-June.
Right.
And then I found out in early July I was pregnant. Mm. Like 6 weeks, I found out at 6 weeks. And I remember, and there's like, I obviously don't want to say everything, but like there's just like a crazy situation just about that alone. Oh, it's just trauma, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of toxic trauma.
Yeah, because you know people will tell you you're crazy or you're making it up, or even go as far as calling you schizophrenic or something.
Schizophrenic.
That's crazy. Okay. Yeah, no, people are literally.
That's a deep dive.
They straight up like went that far with me, his family.
Yeah.
Like I've had harassment messages like, you're mentally out. And I'm like, oh.
Well, from the family? Or
from his niece that's literally bipolar, like actually bipolar.
So it seems like the whole family's just on another level.
No, I've had a recording of his niece who's like older than my mom. She was at my job looking for me, and she was trying to fight me. And like, I have a recording of her on the phone. Like, I have proof. I just haven't ever like.
Well, I mean, yeah, going forward, I mean, because yeah, you're still gonna. Yeah, so I mean, going forward, you're still gonna want to, you know, provide that proof. I mean, because as a single mother, you want to have some custody of your child, so you can be there for him and grow up with him. And those are very important things.
Because
yeah.
Once I'm able to do a mental health evaluation and show my proof, it's like, I'm not really that crazy. But when a bunch of people and then against one are saying someone's crazy, who are they going to believe, you know?
Yeah, it's true. But that's why, I mean, and what you're doing is really, really, it's keen, because you got to keep evidence on these things. Because when you do go to court to try to do what you're going to want to do for your child, the judge is going to want to see information regarding that, of course, like some kind of factoid. Yeah. But let me say, we're going to play devil's advocate. Not we're going to play devil's advocate, but some argue that the absence of a father can lead to long-term issues for children, both emotionally and economically. How do you respond to people who would say that to you?
I feel like it can go both ways. Like,
okay.
I feel like mommy issues, daddy issues are a real thing. I feel like whatever parent is in a kid's life, it's going to affect them, whether it's the mother or the father or even both.
Yeah.
It's going to affect them in some way. I feel like if the mother is not there, more in an emotional way.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, the mother generally is the nurturer,
And with like when kids don't have their like fathers there, I feel like they hide their emotions. It's like opposite.
Yeah.
Or like they bottle up anger, and then like when it's, I don't know, like it's different for everybody, but like,
mm-hmm.
just from what I've like seen with people who have their own issues, I guess.
Yeah. And that's true because, I mean, I'll say just from my own, I grew up before, I mean, before my granddad took over and helped raise me and before I had a stepfather, my dad went to prison like for 30 years. So I grew up without a father figure in the home, except for those two that I mentioned. It's very difficult not to have a father figure, but my mom was also a single mother like you. But, you know, so I get that feeling of how it is. It's hard to be the man and the woman to raise the child, but sometimes it's necessary. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and there's still so much on it. Like, you know, like there's a part of him, like, I know he's like a good dad. I just don't think he's a good partner.
Right.
But lately, like, I'm almost thinking he's not the best dad because, like, I did move there this past year and he hasn't even made an effort to even let me see him one time or for his birthday. So I'm like, how does that make him a good dad? Like,
yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. Cause you know, if the father of my child moved across the country for my kid and for me to not let him see his kid, that'd be fucked.
Yeah, that's exactly what you don't want to do.
Yeah, because that kid's gonna grow up and find all that out.
Yeah, he's gonna listen to all these. I mean, he's gonna figure out everything that's gone on. He's gonna ask questions for sure.
Well, we're also in the day and age of like technology, social media. Like, he's obviously from a different time than me. Like, you can take pictures and screenshots of all this proof, like the truth. It's just. You can't cover, like, you see the stuff with Diddy and all that. Like, you can't just hide everything anymore. Like, if you're doing something wrong, it's going to come out. Like, whatever it is you're doing, it's going to unfold. Like, so, like, that's why I stay so humble, because I know the truth will come out. I know his karma will come. And I know, like, I just try to keep my faith strong. And, like, you know, there's so many red flags and, like, just like I was about to tell you, like when I did get pregnant, like when I was not smoking weed or drinking, that's mm-hmm. when reality hit me. Like, what am I doing? Like, I don't want this guy to be my son's dad. And then I moved back to Sioux Falls again.
Yeah.
And then I moved back to Corpus again. So I was putting myself through this endless toxic cycle.
And yeah, it becomes like a
messaging me and welcoming me, and they were like bombarding me with baby gifts. So I feel like I was love bombed and.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff, and they made me feel so welcome. And I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe it will actually work, and like things will be cool with his family. And I think the healthiest our relationship ever was probably when I was pregnant. But like the moment I gave birth, apparently I'm like this fucking crazy person.
Yeah, and
he's like you're going through like an episode. No one's trying to take your baby. I'm like, obviously.
Yeah, clearly there's stuff going on that I'm unaware of.
Because I didn't want him to be alone. I didn't like anyone touching it. I was just like overprotective because like I just got this vibe. Like, you ever like meet people and you get like a vibe? Like,
yeah, you get you draw in their negative and or their positive energies. Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want anybody like touching my kid because like when he's in, you know, when a kid's in your belly. They ain't going nowhere.
No.
So I felt like I could protect him. I guess there was somewhat postpartum. Like, right. I felt like I couldn't protect him.
Yeah. And that could be brought on by stress, too. So.
The day I brought him home from the hospital, CBS came. So it's just been an endless cycle from the day he was born. So, and that's like another reason why I'm so scared to have kids. Because, like. Right. Goodness gracious, this alone has been taking up all my 20s.
Yeah.
But now I'm in a place where, like, yeah, this is going on, but I can't let it, like, consume me. I want to go to, like, I'm with my mom now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get my bag and just hopefully this flight attendant school or something like that works out. And I'm going to get my son back because, like, you know, and it's always been me against the world, and I mean against the world, like his family, like,
yeah.
And I just want to prove them wrong because I've done it before. I got a place, a car, went to college, had my son, went to work, like, I'll do it again. And I think he knows that because how would he go from talking to me and then the moment I went back to Texas, he just doesn't want to talk to me and he gets all paranoid. And
well, yeah, because he knows
I don't want you to take him. I'm like, oh, but you're saying paperwork that I can't take him. Yeah. So what are you going for? Because it's fake. It's a lie.
Well, no, because you'd have to go to court for that. So.
No, right. I was like, I wasn't even sued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you already know. But I mean, that seems like a lot, and it's a lot to deal with. And you're holding up great. You're doing superhuman things, trying to keep your family together, and that's you and your son. I applaud that. I think that's amazing because some women just abandon their children. That's a whole other issue.
Mm-hmm. And like I went through back to back surgeries and health stuff, and like sometimes people literally fall into drugs or like they really do give up on their kids or. And it's like, I feel like that's what they literally want me to do. Like,
yeah.
Like, you guys want me to be mentally, you know, you guys want me to be this drug addict. Like, you guys literally want me to give up on my kid. And like, they can think that I'm backing off just because I'm living with my mom for the time being. But like, I'm going to hit them with a bang. And like, really? I already had a dream. He was asking me for child support. But I was like, but I thought you said I was schizophrenic and physically unable to take care of my kids. So.
Yeah, they'll tell the judge anything.
I know. He's going to have to figure out what narrative he's going to go with.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Now they dug themselves in a hole that when family members of my son's dad has talked to me, mm-hmm. they're like, we're going to press charges for harassment, even though they were the ones harassing me to begin with.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, no one's going to put me in jail. I'm schizophrenic, right? They're just going to put me in a mental hospital. No charges drop. I'm out the next day.
Yeah.
Boom. And they left me alone. They left me alone.
They're like, you want to talk about somebody who's, you know, fighting hard for their child? That would be me, right?
No, because now that I'm playing along with it, it's just now it's making me mad. Because at first I was like, dude, I'm not crazy. It's like, oh, you want to call me crazy? That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy people don't know the difference. So you're definitely not crazy because you couldn't say that if you were.
If I was crazy, I would have been showed up at his mama's house outside his house
mm-hmm.
a long time ago when I got to Texas. I could have acted a lot different.
Oh, for sure. And you didn't.
But
so.
I'm honestly scared to even be around that dude.
Yeah, but remember, it's not about him. Of course, it's about your kid. So.
No, it's about my son. Like, if something happens between me and his dad, like, that's already another reason why I don't want to live in the same city as him because of what happened to begin with. Like, the whole reason why I even moved to Sioux Falls with my kid is because CPS sent me up there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so like, it's really like a big situation.
But
CPS
gets better.
Is a whole nother topic itself. They don't really entirely care about like the kids.
It's bureaucracy.
Really don't. Mm-hmm. I literally had proof my son's dad was drilling the door shut to keep us in there. Mm-hmm. And she's like, as long as he's not harming you.
That's a harm to me. I can't eat, drink water. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I was eating and drinking, but I couldn't leave the house. It was on the top floor. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's still toxic. Like
No, it is toxic. It was more of just like, you know, narcissist like controlling. Like mm-hmm. and he's so in denial, like that he is a narcissist. And I'm like, dude, like
yeah, I mean, if he did from half of the things that you've said that he did, if he even did like 5% of that stuff, he's a whole other person.
When he drove in to the ocean.
Oh,
like it was like on this place on Indian Point outside of North Beach, Corpus Christi.
Uh-huh.
The county was San Patricio. So we crossed into another county.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the night I got my kid back. It was like November 2020.
Okay.
And it was already flooding or like, I think because like a prior tropical storm or something like that.
Okay.
You know, hurricane season.
Yeah.
Anyways, pretty much we were going down this road and this car was trying to stop us. And he already was kind of, the car already smelled like weed when he picked me up and my baby was in the back of the car.
Oh my goodness, it's horrible.
And like, I could tell he had a few drinks already.
Mm.
So we went to like the bay. I had one beer and like put it in the trash, but I wasn't driving.
Right.
And like, that's all I had.
Yeah.
And that night. And so it's just because I felt like pressured. Sometimes I would have a drink just for him to think I'm not. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if I wouldn't have drank at all, he would have got paranoid. Why are you drinking? Why are you? Yeah. Anyways.
Okay.
So we went to this place called Indian Point.
Mm-hmm.
He had like, I guess he had an open beer can in the car, which I don't remember, but I do have a problem of like going back and forth when yeah. telling a story.
Yeah, okay.
So we're at Indian Point and he's in his mom's car. It's like this Mitsubishi, like this little black car.
Right.
And he's like driving down the road and this car's trying to stop us and he keeps going and you could tell it's flooded this road. Like you could see the beach, like was over this road.
Okay.
Like, oh my gosh. He doesn't go right into the ditch or he doesn't back up or he doesn't go straight. He goes left where the ocean is.
Okay.
And I'm yelling, stop. Like, on my dead grandma. Like, swear to God. I was like, what are you doing? Like, stop, stop. And he takes a left. Mm-hmm. I swear he was trying to kill me and my son and him. I don't know what was going through his head. I really don't.
Okay.
And at that moment, I'm like, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die. But thankfully, there was fucking rocks that stopped us.
You think that he would have, do you believe he would have driven you and your son into the ocean?
Yes. Really? Yes. If there were not rocks there, like, why would he not stop when I was yelling, like, stop, stop, or turn right, idea. Turn right, or back up, turn around. And then he goes in the worst place possible,
mm-hmm.
the ocean.
My
and
goodness.
He's like seeing red, like he's not responding to me. He's looking straight, like I don't know what was going through his freaking head. Like he's like in a trance or something.
Now, did you tell anybody about this? Did you call the cops?
Get into that. So people saw us and we're in the water. I opened the car door and like the water's up to my legs.
Oh my goodness.
This car, it got totaled.
Well, yeah. I mean,
So like, a tow truck got that, but they put my son, like the baby, in the back of a police car because they smelled the weed and saw the beer can, so they called the police and told them, and he's telling them, oh no, we're fine, and my son's dead. I think he knew. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like worried, like I didn't want to say like help or anything. I don't want to like freak out, because when you're dealing with like a narcissist, like you just like,
you have to
obviously
be careful.
Now I'd be like, help, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But there's also been times I've done that and it didn't work. Or like, I don't mm-hmm. know.
That's crazy.
So they called the cops and then they had me in a police car, him in a police car. And then they had my son in the back of another police car. He's screaming bloody murder the whole time. And no one's even sitting with him. So that pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're questioning him and they're questioning me. And he's like, well, we found marijuana in the car.
Mm.
And there was like open beer cans and alcohol. And like, I didn't have an open beer can.
Yeah.
And he's like, really? Because he said that was yours. I'm like, I had one beer, but I threw that away. And I wasn't drinking it while we were driving.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot.
And I gave him the description of where we were at. I don't know if it was like a ropes park or it was like kind of the Bay Area, like before we came in that area. I told him like where the trash can was.
Right.
And everything. Like if you really want to go all the way over there and look.
Oh,
I don't think it was Cole Park. That's what it was. Anyways. Okay. But he looked me in my eyes. He could tell I was not high in marijuana. I was like, I did not smoke. He's like, well, he's telling me that the weed was yours. And I was like, well, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Well, did they test him or test you or test anyone for it?
Well, I tested clean for marijuana, okay. But from what his mom says, when he got to the jail, he didn't even blow for alcohol. And he's sober for weed. He said the weed was yours. And I'm like, girl, bye. Like, it's like,
wow. They're just, I mean, they're just enabling him to be a horrible person.
Gaslight. Yeah. No, they back him up. They back him up.
Yeah.
Like, they said that I grabbed the wheel and made him go in the water.
How could you grab the wheel if you're on the right-hand side? You'd grab the wheel and push it left? I mean, you would be off balance, wouldn't you?
Dude, my son's dad's arm muscles are, like, probably two, like, four times the size as my arm. Like, he's got these big old arms. He's strong. Yeah. He works outside all day. I give him that. Like, he is very good work ethic.
Right.
I'm not going to say the best, but like he'd be working outside and like a lot of guys can't. He's afraid to get his hands messy. So like he's obviously got good qualities about him. I'm not going to sit here and downgrade him because obviously there's things that kept me around. And
right
reasons that things that kept me to stay, you know.
Right.
Like he's got good qualities about him.
Except like, for
he was just controlling.
Being like, honest. Yeah.
Yeah. I
there's a few bad ones and we don't want to overlook those, but yeah. So
it would have really been a great relationship if he wasn't so narcissistic. I feel like it could have worked.
Maybe. Because he'd always be home. He'd always be gone and you'd be home, so yeah.
I mean, yeah, but like
maybe that's the best relationship to have, thank you.
Yeah. Everything does happen for a reason.
This is though. True.
Like, I'm happy it didn't work out, obviously, but mm-hmm. It's just thinking of like my kid, you know. Like
yeah, no,
I wish I would have been able to give him like, you know, mother, father at home
mm-hmm.
type of thing. So
you know, it won't make him weaker, I tell you that. I'll make him stronger. I went through the same thing as a child.
My son?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like but you weren't really around your dad, right?
No, I didn't have like I kind of pretty much raised myself. My granddad did a lot of the heavy lifting.
Your mom was working a lot.
My mom worked all the time. And I got my stepdad around the age of 14 or 15. So I didn't stay long. I wasn't with him a long time. So, but yeah. But I'll tell you this. That's an amazing story, Kay. I mean, I can't even fathom how that all happened to one person, but clearly it did. So. Thank you for coming on.
So much to it and so much little things. Yeah. But yeah, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. And sorry if I seemed a little all over the place.
No, you're fine. I mean, it's a difficult story to tell. But as we wrap up this insightful discussion, it's clear that the narratives around single motherhood and absentee fatherhood are complex. Kay, your experiences highlight the importance of community, communication, and understanding, the unique dynamics at play in each and every family. So we appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us. Do you have any handles? Where can people get more about the story, learn more about you?
Well,
you on TikTok, you on Facebook, social media?
I do have TikTok, yes.
Yeah.
And I have Instagram as well. I'm not really as active on Instagram, like posting wise, but I do have a TikTok, yes.
Sure. So if people want to reach you guys, we are always located at Let Me Take You Higher podcast at gmail.com. We're on every social media that you can think of. And it's always the same name, Let Me Take You Higher, except for on Twitter. It's at @TakeMe_podcast. So thanks again, guys, for coming in as our beautiful and gifted audience, listening to our stories and the stories of some of our special guests like Kay and Nicola. If you have any other questions, remember to reach out. And as always, God bless you all and take care of each other. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain. And it's all made possible by BC Entertainment LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music LLC. All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment, so don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted.
Young. stories unfold.